Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verse 67. This is talking about the birth of John the Baptist. And we're going to look at a few thoughts here this morning. Luke 1, 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, talking to his son now, John, thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Verse 80 says, And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and when it was in the deserts, till the day of his showing unto Israel. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the scriptures this morning. Father, we're so thankful once again, Lord, for the privilege of coming here. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. And Father, we approach it reverently and humbly. We ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. And Lord, that you would receive the glory to yourself. Help us, Lord, to learn from this today and put it into practice in our lives. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. This is the story of John the Baptist. And in a few months, or a couple months, I guess, three or four months, we'll be getting into the Christmas story. And the Christmas story really starts out with the story of John the Baptist being born. And for 400 years, there was absolute silence from heaven. There was no voice of God. At the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, there was a 400-year period where we have no record of God speaking or saying anything to the people. And they're known as the 400 silent years. And then all of a sudden, God steps in on the scene again and speaks to Zechariah, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Now, first of all, just lay down a couple of thoughts before we get into this. We're talking about growing strong in the desert. In the desert times of your life when it seems like, man, I'm just wasting time. I'm just wasting away. Nothing is happening. What is God doing in the desert times of our lives? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And first of all, we need to realize that God's got a plan for every last one of us. You might think, well, you know, probably God's got a plan for the pastor, or a plan for some missionary, or a plan for musicians or something like that. But I'm just nothing. You know, God doesn't have a plan for me. Yes, God's got a plan for every single person here today. He's got a purpose for your life. You weren't just dropped on the earth for nothing. You came here for a purpose. And God has got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Zacharias, he was a priest in the Old Testament. And they tell us now, I don't know all the details, but I'm just going what historians tell us, that there are probably about 20,000 or more priests in Israel all the time, working around the temple area. And throughout the year, they would operate in certain times. Some people say they operate in 2 weeks at a time. They would go in, and their duty, because every day they had to take, you know, the lamps had to be trimmed and all these different things, and the showbread had to be put in, and you know, all the different things under the system of the Old Testament. And they would do this, and every 2 weeks there would be a new head priest that would go in and look after different things. And the Bible says that it came Zacharias' time to go in to the holy place. And as he was in there offering incense and different things, an angel appeared to him. Now, as I said, this is 400 years after 400 years of silence. And as he is in there, he went through all of his life, He's an old man by this time now. He went through all of his life not really seeing anything that God was doing. I mean, he was faithful, no doubt, at his, discharging his duties as a priest and all these different things. And he would go in, faithfully into the temple area and do what he had to do, but not really seeing anything because for 400 years there was no sound from heaven. So they were just going by what they read in the scriptures, how they, live like that. And a lot of times we feel that way ourselves. We're not hearing anything from heaven. It seems like heaven is dry. We're dry. The well is dry. Everything is dry. And it seems like God is not ministering. And sometimes we get the idea, well, just want to quit and give up on it. But no, God honors faithfulness. And for a number of years, Zechariah spent all these years being faithful, just waiting for the day that God had the purpose of his life to come to pass. He was to become the father of John the Baptist. We could say the same thing about his wife Elizabeth. She was his wife, and again, she grew old. The Bible implies that they were older people. And so she, the very same thing, grew up all of her life, just being faithful and doing whatever she was doing, whatever she felt her duty to do, until a time that God had prepared for them to do something. And the purpose of their life. And I'm sure there are times they get discouraged and get frustrated and say, what's the purpose and all these different things. But God had a purpose and a plan for their lives as well as ours. And the Bible tells us there in chapter 1 again, Luke chapter 1, verse 80, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the time that he was shown unto Israel. Talk about John the Baptist. He was in the desert until the time that he was to be shown, brought forth and manifested to Israel. Now the Bible tells us that he grew strong in spirit. He grew strong in his spirit. And spiritual strength is essential to spiritual ministry. And God had John put aside for a while. And sometimes you think, well, nothing is happening in my life. I've been here doing this for 20 years. I've been doing this for 30 years or whatever the case might be, or maybe 5 months. I don't know. And you say, I don't seem like there's any purpose to what I'm doing. But, as we're going through to just a routine and being faithful in what God has led us to do and what, we feel we have to do in a local church assembly or whatever other ministry or thing that you feel that God has involved you in. Maybe it's your everyday work and you think, well, that's not a ministry. Yes, it is. That's a mission field. You're gonna rub shoulders with people that I'll never see. At your workplace. Some people say, years ago, I've told you the story a number of times, but years ago we had a young man in one of our churches in Newfoundland. Well, actually, it was our home church where we grew up. And but I was out pastoring for a couple of years, and I went back to visit and spoke one time. And he said to me, he said, Steve, he said, I need to pray, he said, that I get a new job. And I said, why? What's the problem? He said, well, he said, where I'm at, he said, there's nobody saved. And he said, I want a job, he said, where everybody is saved. And I said to him, I said, listen, I said, don't you realize that maybe God has placed you there? To be a light. You know what it's like? You come into a room. How can I say this? This room was filled with light this morning. If you brought in a box, and inside that box there's darkness. If you open up that box, it's not going to make the room dark. You understand what I'm trying to say? But it's going to make that box light. Light is more powerful than darkness. If you came in here and this room was totally dark and you just flicked on a switch or just lit a match or something, wherever you're at in the room, your eyes are going to go to that light. You understand? And a lot of times when we're in our jobs or at the school or whatever we're involved in, young people going to school, and you think, well, I'm the only Christian in my class. I'm the only Christian in my department at work. Well, maybe you're the light that God has placed here to bring light to the darkness that's there. We need to understand and get over, and I'm not saying this because I'm so super spiritual, I'm just so rotten as the rest of you, but we need to get over trying to do everything just to please me. We got to realize that God's got a purpose for our lives. And once we get a vision or a picture of God's purpose, then we can accomplish something for him. And we have to be faithful. And John, the Bible says, he grew in spirit. He was strong in spirit. And notice that it didn't talk about his physical body growing strong, and I'm sure that did too, as he's living out in the desert and everything else and doing things. But the Bible is concerned about his spiritual condition. He grew strong in the spirit. And then the Bible says, after he grew strong in the spirit, then he was presented to Israel. John the Baptist was readied in for God to use him. Now we're going to glance down through a few things here and just touch on a couple of things. First of all, let's look at John's purpose. I'm just going to touch on these really quickly. John's purpose was to be the forerunner of Jesus. He was to be the forerunner of Jesus. Now we just sang a song, "These Are the Days of Elijah." Elijah, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. And just as John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, if you read Isaiah, or rather Malachi, it ends off talking about Elijah. About Elijah. And then when you open up in the New Testament, 400 years on the road, it seemed like God never missed a beat. He just raised up a fellow in the spirit of Elijah. These 400 years, you know, seemed like it meant nothing. It ended off with Elijah in the Old Testament, and it started up with Elijah in the New Testament. And we just saying, these are the days of Elijah. Now, we know we're not back in Elijah's day, but John the Baptist was in the days of Elijah. Jesus himself said, because the Bible talks about Elijah would come, and Jesus himself said, if you can understand it, he said, Elijah has already come in John the Baptist. And we're living in a day, the same kind of a day, where we're presenting Jesus and we're preparing the way for Jesus to come back. So we're living in the days of Elijah in that sense. And I know there's some debate about that. Everybody all got the wrong opinions on it. But anyway, John had a purpose. John had a purpose, and he was to be the forerunner of Jesus, the forerunner to the Messiah. The Messiah has been prophesied way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. I told you that years ago. This is the first messianic promise that God was going to send a seed after woman to deliver mankind from sin. And John, 4,000 years later, John the Baptist came on the scene to prepare the way for the Messiah to finally come into the world. Now, you know the story. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins in the natural. I mean, we know Jesus, his father was God, but in the natural, they were cousins, and John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. He was born 6 months before Jesus. John the Baptist was born roughly June month. Jesus was born, you know, September, October, November, December is all a debate, but the date doesn't matter. The fact is that he came. Anyway, John's purpose was to be the forerunner for the Messiah. Then John's calling. And I want us to understand something here. Your purpose might not be the forerunner like John, you know, the forerunner of Jesus, but your purpose in life, God has got a purpose and a plan for you. And when we dedicate babies, we say, you know, God has a purpose for this child's life. And to find that purpose and to live it out will bring success and happiness. But it says if you don't find that purpose and you don't live it out, there'll be no purpose in your life no matter how much success you get. You know, it's got to be based upon what God has got designed for you to do. God placed you here for a purpose. God designed us, God crafted us, God created us, and every last one of us, when we came into this planet, God has got a purpose for every one of us. A lot of us live and die, don't even find out what that purpose is because we're just so caught up in our own selves. And I believe the greatest thing that we should do, and I've thought about it lots of times, even with my own children, I probably never did it enough myself, you know, the greatest thing we could ever do is train our children as they're growing up to find out what it is that God wants them to do, to live according to God's plan and purpose for their life. John's calling began even before he was born. You understand that? You know, sometimes we say, well, God, you know, I felt God's call. When we went into ministry in Pentecostal Assemblies in Newfoundland, we had to, you know, meet with the different boards and different things. You had to write all kinds of little things from the, you know. And finally, when it all comes down, and they have us all lined up outside, those that are applied for ministry and everything else, and they're all lined up, and you go in, and they had all the pastors. They had a big long table, and all the pastors, the superintendents, the district superintendents, and the presbyters and everything else, that were, you know, in your area, they're all sitting around the table. You go in, you sit at the end of the table, you felt like a fly at the other end of the table compared to them. And then they start asking you all these different questions. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? You know. And then they come down and they said, how do you know you're called? And I tell you, that's the most important question. They told me after, they said, that's the most important question we'll ever ask. How do you know you're called? And they want to know that, you had a personal relationship with Jesus. You gave your heart to the Lord. And they want to know when that happened, if you're a child or whatever. And then how do you know that you're called? And then you give your testimony, you share with them how the Lord has, you know, impressed upon you and different things and the callings and anything else that went along that line. But John the Baptist, he was called even before he was born. Same thing happened to Jeremiah. He said, even when you're in the womb, he said, I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Even before you were born, God had a plan and purpose for your life. The Word of God tells us that even before we were born, God had every day of our lives planned out for us. God had things designed for us to do. But a lot of times we go through life and we don't even ask God, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, help me to, you know, God might want me to go that way. I tell you, one of my greatest fears, and I know we're not supposed to be fearful, but this is in the sense of being afraid of something. One of my greatest fears is that I'm going this way, and God said, that's not the way I want you to go that way. And one of my greatest fears is not finding it out until the day I die. And God said to me, you missed, you know, everything I want you to do. That's scary to me. I don't know about you fellows, but that's scary to me. I want to be in on what God is doing. I want to be smack dab in the middle of where God called me to be. And I believe, honestly, I believe God called me here, and I'm totally convinced of that. But the thing is, I want to be where God wants me to be, not just where I want to be. And John the Baptist, even before he was born, was called by God. When Zechariah was in the temple, you know the story, Zechariah was in the temple. And as he was going about, you know, the duties of the priest, the angel appeared to him and frightened him. And the angel said to him, he said, you and your wife are going to have a child. He said, I want you to call him John. And then he told him, you know, what the child was going to be doing. Even before he was born, God had a plan for his life. Even before you were born, God had a plan for your life. John's purpose was to be the forerunner. His calling came before he was born. And God, here's something else, we're talking about his calling. God works in your life. Experiences that you go through as a young person, as a child, you're 10, 11 years old, you're 12, 15 years old, and you think, well, you know, you're still, God's got nothing for me. This offer to older people in church. Anybody ever feel that way? Or just, when I grew up, I felt that way. You know? Listen, even the things that you go through as a child, God will use that to train you for the purpose he's got for your life in the future. You need to understand something. And I say this to the young people. You need to understand something, that you're only young for a number of years. You're old for a lot longer. Okay? So God trains you as you're going through your younger years and gives you experiences and helps you to see things and go through things and all these different things. And if you put your trust in God, God can bring all that together to use you in the future. And it amazes me, and yet it don't, but it amazes me how God would take somebody that sometimes that, you know, were down and out, and they were alcoholics, they were drug addicts, they were all these different things, and God would take that person and they would totally turn around completely, and now they're start rescuing people that were drug addicts and alcoholics and all, because the things that you went through, God can use you now to deliver other people that are going through the same thing. And you might think, well, I've gone through something that, you know, just, you know, I don't want anybody to ever go through. I know and I understand it, but the thing is, people will be going through it. And God needs people that understands that area and be able to help these people to lift them out. So don't ever get upset because life is hard and all these different things. And I understand, we all do it. We're only natural. We're only human beings. We understand it. But there's things that we go through sometimes that we don't understand ourselves, but God's got a bigger picture than what we can see. And God says, listen, you just hold on for another year or two or whatever the case might be. I've got a big plan for you down the future. And you say, well, what I've done, you know what? You know, as shameful as this, as that. Listen, God's got a plan for you in the future. He can use that again. John's ministry began before he was born. Even the things he went through in his life helped to prepare him for ministry. John's ministry, is another point, will be different than his father's ministry. And you can see this in the way that he was named. You know the story, or at least you should know the story. John the Baptist was born. They were an older couple. By the time they were born, his father was retired. And when he was born, times don't change that much. All the neighbors gathered together, and they're all celebrating. They're all excited. A little, you know, baby is born. This new little child is born. This little boy, you know. And they said, what are you going to call him? And Elizabeth spoke. Now, you got to understand, Zacharias, his father, he started to argue with the angel, and he started to say, how can that be? Now, he wasn't asking, you know, a legitimate question. He was just asking out of unbelief. And the angel said, because you didn't believe, he said, you'll be dumb. He said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born. And so anyway, matter of fact, when he came out of the temple area that day, he had to make motions and write it on paper and everything else for the people to understand what was going on, that he saw an angel and different things. But anyway, they got into the house, and the baby is born, and they all take him up, and you know, as you do with babies, what are you going to call him? Elizabeth spoke up, said that his name is going to be John. John? Nobody else in the family named John. You know, why would you call him John? Because you got no relatives named John. Call him Zach, little Zach, Zacharias, after his father. And the argument got so much that his father came along and took a piece of parchment or paper or whatever and wrote down on it, his name is John. And the minute he wrote that down, his tongue was loosed and he could speak. And that's when he started to prophesy the thing we just read there then. Now, here's what I want you to understand. His ministry was going to be different than his father's ministry. He was going to be used by God, but in a different way. And I believe that's one of the reasons God had him, his name was totally different. Some people say, well, you know, I think we should call our child after so-and-so. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But, you know, but sometimes I believe it, even in this day, God said, no, this child is going to be different. This one's going to be different. He's not called after his father, his grandfather, anything else. This is going to be a different child that's set aside for me. And while he's going through things in life, struggles and battles, and things he don't understand, God said, I'm going to use all that to fine-tune him into something that I can use. John was different than his father. He had a different ministry. He had a name that was chosen by God. And it's interesting that God told his father and his father passed on to them, but he told him before the child was born that this child is going to be different. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah and all that. And I believe a lot of times we need to understand that God lets us know these things. When we got a child, we look at a child and we say, you know, there's something different about that child. You know, there's something different about him that God has got a purpose for his life. And we can see that. And I know God's got a purpose for all of our lives, but sometimes there's something special about a child. And he said, God's got a purpose for that child. And we need to, as parents and as grandparents and as family members and everything else, we need to do everything in our power to direct that child in the right area. And I believe this is why God said to Zacharias that this child, you know, talk about the ministry he's going to have, so that Zacharias could direct him in the way that he would go. When Samson was born, his mother did the very same thing. The angel said to Samson's mother, that this child would grow up and he'd be a, you know, servant of God and all these different things. And they were to train him and bring him up in that way. So when God gives you a child, God never gave you a child just to waste time with. God gave you a child because he got a purpose for that child's life. And should the Lord tarry another 1,000 years, that child is going to grow up. And he's going to become a pastor, he's going to become a preacher, he's going to become a teacher, he's going to become a doctor, he's going to become a lawyer, whatever it is, but God's got a purpose for that child's life. We need to understand that. John's training was in the desert. And you know as well as I do, the desert would be a lonely, discouraging place. It's a place of separation. John was, the Bible says he was in the desert until the day that he was shown to Israel. He was in the desert. In the desert, he was separated from the culture. He was separated from the culture of his day. He was separated from his family's ways of doing things because God had a new purpose for this child. This child was going to come. The Old Testament was just getting over. The New Testament was just beginning. The age of law was coming to an end. The age of grace was about to begin. And God needed somebody different that would stand in there and help to bring that to pass. And he was separated from the religion and the beliefs of the Jews of that day. So a lot of times God calls us to separation from anything that would hinder us from fulfilling the plan and the purpose that God has got for our lives. John, the Bible tells us, grew strong in the Spirit. Somebody said, a man with a spirit sit right before God has far more going for him than a man with nothing but muscles. A man with a spirit right before God has far more going for him than a man that has nothing but muscles. You look at somebody that's physically fit and then put the Holy Spirit in them, then you got a good package. But the Holy Spirit is the most important thing. The Bible says he was in the desert until the day that he appeared publicly to Israel. And I wonder sometimes if the Lord don't put us in a place like that and put us in a desert place in our lives. until the time when it comes for us to be presented into the ministry that God has gotten for us. You see this happening a lot of times. I just got four different fellows there I'm going to touch on real quick. This pattern of being put in the desert, God does it over and over and over. First of all, Paul. When the Apostle Paul got saved, he was Saul, you know the story there. But he got saved, and for 3 years, he was in a desert area. Nothing happening. And then for 14 years, he moved back home. And you know, nothing happening. And until God started to use him in ministry in Antioch. And God used him in there. Joseph, back in the Old Testament. You know the story here? Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. And Joseph got accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to rape her and all these different things. Joseph was taken and put in prison. He's only 17 years old. Sometimes we read about these fellows, we think they're old men with beards and everything. This is a young fellow, 17 years old, but he knew how to trust God. And for 17 years, they tell us, he was in prison, so he was about 34 years old when he got out. 30 to 34, when he got out of the prison. And Joseph went through all these lonely times in prison, misunderstood, mistreated. You know, wondering sometimes, no doubt, what is the purpose for my life? Is this what, you know, God called me? Is this where it ends? Here in a prison? Moses. You know the story of Moses? He was in the basket and Pharaoh's daughter raised him and everything else. And Moses killed a fellow and had to run for his life. And for 40 years he was running. And God, in the meantime, Moses out in the backside of the desert, the Bible says, looking after sheep for 40 years. I mean, that's a long time. That's a long time. And no doubt he would go back and think about, you know, God said he's going to use me. God said he's going to do this. And God, you know, and he felt impressed that God was going to. But here I am just wasting away in the desert. No, he wasn't wasting away. God was getting rid of the things in his life that would try to hinder. And God was setting him up and making him into a person that he could use. And Moses, you know the story, after 40 years in the desert, Moses came out and led the children of Israel out of bondage. David was faithful. He was on scene, he was uncelebrated, he was just doing ordinary labor, looking after sheep. But God used that to train him. And sometime later, remember when David, the Bible talks about he killed a lion and he killed a bear and you know, different things. And then when it came time for the heyday of his life, when he was going to face Goliath, David knew that he could trust God because he said, God help me when I killed the lion, when I killed the bear. And he said, I can look after that fellow too. See, the things that you're going through in life as a child, you think, well, man, I'm living in the worst family that ever was. Anybody else feel that when you're growing up? Listen, God can use the things that you're going through. Just put your trust in him. God can take the things that you think are just wasted time and desert times and lonely times and frustrating times and things that make you mad and all these different things, and God is sometimes just polishing the rough edges off you and making you into a package that he can use for his glory. It seems clear through all these different things that the dry and desert places in our lives is a time that God uses to help us to grow spiritually, mature. Sometimes, you know, it's after these dry spurts that we find out what our purpose is in life. And we come out, and sometimes we say, well, that person just came right out of the woodwork. You know? But I tell you, God's been doing a lot of woodwork with that person in their background and bring them to the place that he can use them. And you say, well, you know, I've been in church all my life, you know, and I've done this and I've done that, and I don't see any purpose in it. Listen, God has still got a plan for you. And God's got a purpose for your life, and the things that you're going through right now, you think, well, man, this is just a waste of time. I'm not interested in church. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in something else. But God can use these times to fine-tune us and develop in us a character that he wants to use for his glory. That all things would be done unto his glory. There's a chorus we used to sing in back home, and you probably sang it here. It says, hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. Sometimes you're going through something, you say, man, you know, this is happening to the family, something else has happened to the family, something else, and the church is this and this and that, and you know, job is this, and it seems like everything's just caving in on you. The song says, hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means just that dawn is in sight. Dawn is in sight. When you're going through things, when you're going through struggles, and you don't know which way to turn, you have to realize that God has got a plan, He's got a purpose, and if we can get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes upon Him, God will lead us into something that He's got beautiful for our lives.
Have you knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, and the things you gave your life for fell apart? You're not the first to be acquainted with sorrows, griefs, or pains, but the Master has promised sunshine after the rain. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning, the weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. To invest your seed of trust in God, in mountains you cannot move. You have risked your life on things you cannot prove. But to give those things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose is the way to find the joy God has for you. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning, the weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just inside. The darkest hour means dawn is just inside.